You're listening to Party Nerds Weekly.
Welcome to the party! I felt like it was only right to do it in Jerv's type of fashion because I felt like that was the only way to do it.
No, I would have totally believed you if you turned your lights all the way down and said, come on, Ed, you know me.
The shadow knows.
Exactly. And he's lurking somewhere.
All right. So, welcome to another installment of Party Nerds Weekly. I myself am Grandmaster Fax. And I if this were a table, I'd say to my right. But we don't have a table. We're all at our own distinct destinations. So, give it up to my man, Darnell. Oh, Lord.
Oh,
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, do whatever Spider-Pig.
What's going on, guys? I'm very hyped about tonight. I'm hyped about this discussion because I just got that hunger for more MCU material and content. And for us to talk about Spider-Man is just like, get me really hyped for what's to come.
And also, who we haven't seen in a goddamn while, Little Bro.
The Superior. Fighting game champion.
AJ, relax. Let's take it down a notch. It's great to see you again, brother.
I'm on the real though. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me. And especially as the residential Spider-Man.
Yes.
I got some feelings I got to talk about.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, you are.
I'm excited.
And by the way, before we get into it, if they do cast Miles Morales, I do think that you should be considered with the hair and all. I mean, you could definitely pull it off.
I just have to get like 50% more swole. Like I'll trade you some of my hair for some of your secrets.
Listen, bald is beautiful. You know that. Years ago, I lost my follicles and I was like, you know what? I don't need them anymore. I'm still handsome.
And as always, moderating for us and got his rocket ship coordinates behind him, Jorge.
What's up, guys? I'm excited to talk some MCU Spider-Man. Can't wait to see AJ and Darnell and facts banter and you know, talk facts.
And what is that? Facts. You still got more conspiracies on your wall? You still like
there's some brand new ones up there. Some brand new ones on the back now. So we started off our discussion last week in talking about Jamie Foxx's Electro being included and throwing up kind of like a false flag on Instagram where there was a highlight photo post of him as Electro with three Spider-Mans underneath it. So that post got magically put up and deleted. I'm pretty sure somebody from Marvel headquarters or Disney called Jamie and cussed him the fuck out and told him he wasn't gonna get his paper. And then all of a sudden, this week, we get some brand new news that furthermore confirms a multiverse, but none other than Doctor Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch, is going to be joining Spider-Man 3.
So like,
what are we thinking
this at? This is the way I see it. I'm cool with Doctor Strange being in Spider-Man. I am cool with him going the multiverse route. And honestly, like, this isn't just a Spider-Man thing. Doctor Strange's movie is called The Multiverse of Madness. The actor who played Quicksilver in the X-Men movies is confirmed to be in WandaVision in an undisclosed role, and WandaVision leads directly into Multiverse of Madness. Likewise, ooh, what's the easiest way to introduce mutants in the MCU? Multiverse, done, it's easy. It's like either that or something surrounding Thanos' snap. Or I guess that Tony Stark's snap, if you wanna be exact. But I think the easiest way to implement the X-Men in the MCU in a way that just makes narrative sense to explain why they weren't there before, but they suddenly show up now, is the multiverse. So if I think his name was like Evan Peters, something like that. If his secret role is actually portraying Quicksilver again in WandaVision, you can kind of see like a trend going on here.
Is it really a secret role? Like, we know who he's played before.
But wait, that's the,
playing
that's
someone
the,
else.
But that's the 20th Century Fox Quicksilver. That's not
exactly.
Multiverse of Madness.
Multiverse, like, he's confirmed to be in the movie, but it's not confirmed that he's playing Quicksilver. It's an undisclosed role, but everything is lining up a little too perfectly. So it wouldn't surprise me if, like, you know, come December when we really get into WandaVision, if he reprises his role as Quicksilver, or I could be completely wrong. Like, this is just a theory here. He could very well just play a brand new character. It wouldn't be the first time. Like, Chris Evans originally played the Human Torch in the Fox films. So it could very much be a completely different role. Now that we're getting these confirmations, it's also not a coincidence that Michael Keaton, who played the Vulture, is going to be in the Morbius movie. He was already seen in the trailer. It's not confirmed that he's playing the same role, but
he's playing.
Like, you know.
The most exciting part about what everything you guys are talking about is the simple fact that now that you open the multiverse with Doctor Strange, all these characters you thought were dead, you can literally combine the Fox universe. You can combine, and you have a loop. You have a escape in the plot. So it's not like, wait, that person can't be there, because he can. So if now you make Wanda's brother the Quicksilver from the other universe, technically you can do it, you know? So that kind of opens the door for any possibilities, especially the Spider-Man movie coming up, where Jamie Foxx, like you said, James, he was super hyped. And here's my thing, for him to get that hype makes me think that he's not just gonna be a villain, he's probably gonna be one of the major villains in the movie, because I don't see them making him like a B character. Like, you know him, he's too egotistical. He's gonna have to be the main character.
You know what's funny? Because after our podcast, I had to rewatch Amazing Spider-Man 2 again. And I watched his scene where, you know, he gets killed off. And kind of weird, the ending, like where he basically gets blasted away. But it kind of looks like he goes somewhere. He doesn't look like he dies. He looked like a piece of him went somewhere else, which is kind of weird. I mean, that's just being brought up. But
see the MCU?
That's what it looked like. Maybe. But I have this like eternal thought that I'm like, Electro sucked as a villain. Why him?
So counterpoint, Electro is a great villain. And Jamie Foxx
is a great villain, but Jamie Foxx as Electro.
But wait, hear me out. Jamie Foxx is a great actor, but if you take a great character and you take a great actor, but then you give them a mediocre script and director, even though I personally enjoyed the movies, compared to some of the other Marvel movies that were pretty mediocre, you're going to get a mediocre end product. Now, if you take a talented actor, a talented character, and you give them in the hands of like Kevin Feige and the other people with the main MCU staff, this can almost be a redemption arc of sorts. It wouldn't be the first time that I saw a Marvel character even in a mediocre movie, but then they come back in the next movie and they knock it out of the park. Iron Man 2 wasn't necessarily a great movie, in my opinion, but I'm not going to sit here and say that Tony Stark or Robert Downey Jr. played a bad Tony Stark, because in Iron Man 3, he killed it. In Civil War, he killed it. In Infinity War, he killed it. Same thing with Jamie Foxx, but he only had one opportunity. And he, you know, a lot of people thought that was a one and done. So this could be like his redemption to like really own that character.
Okay, look, given he can redeem himself, but my whole point is this, is I wasn't just, James, I'm with you. I wasn't crazy about Jamie Foxx as Electro. He didn't do anything to make me think, damn, I want to see him come back as a role. Whereas someone like Michael B. Jordan, when he was Killmonger, even though he's dead, you're like, yo, I'd love to see him
again.
You know, even if they said Josh Brolin for Thanos, because they did such a great job as their villains. But Jamie Foxx as Electro is like, mediocre at best. Now, see, to me, this is where MCU gets a little hypocritical, because they're big on hiring like stars and stuff that aren't big names. But to me, this might have been a big name grab to get Jamie Foxx from Fox. You know what I mean? Jamie Foxx from Fox. But you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, you could easily just recasted Electro, you know, but they're like, you know what, Jamie Foxx, let's get him again. And I just don't think you needed to do that. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some people, I put a post up on the Party Nerds page. They were excited. They're like, oh, Jamie Foxx was great. And they said what you said, AJ, that he did, you know, the script wasn't great. But personally, I'm just not hyped about it. So I'm hoping that it is a redemption story. I'm hoping that this movie, he changes everything. He's not blue. He doesn't look like Iceman. You know what I mean? It's, I hope they change.
And that's the other thing too. This just kind of sets a precedence for, and I mentioned earlier, the multiverse opens up a wealth of possibilities, and then they can pick and choose who they want. You know, just because Jamie Foxx is coming back doesn't mean they won't necessarily recast the Green Goblin. You know what I mean? Even though I would love to see Willem Dafoe come back, I digress. that's just me.
You are absolutely right, my friend.
J.K. Simmons,
he's back.
J.J.
That's proof the multiverse exists.
Yes.
With that one, maybe, like, you know, that could be like the same actor playing the same role. But with this one, the fact that they're bringing back specifically Jamie Foxx is a little too on the nose. I feel like if they weren't doing the multiverse aspect, they would just pick the whole new one. But, you know, personally speaking, how do you think they're going to play this out? Because I saw the Multiverse of Madness. I'm like, okay, introduce the X-Men through the multiverse. And then I saw WandaVision. I'm like, oh, House of M type situation, maybe. No more mutants, bring in the mutants. No. You know, do a little twist. There's a lot of things to do it. And specifically, the big twist at the end of Spider-Man Far From Home, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it after these 3 years, but whatever, you know, his secret identity gets revealed. When was the only other time his secret identity got revealed on a big scale? Civil War.
Civil War.
Obviously, they weren't going to do that in the MCU version because that was his first go-around. But now that it's out there in the public, maybe we can see like a One More Day type movie or something like that, but see, done James, right by Marvel.
I was going to ask you about that, James. What do you think if they bring in the whole One More Day, which if no one's familiar, that's where Aunt May gets shot or something?
Like, yeah, and then he makes a deal with the devil. Basically, Mephisto makes his entrance and basically kind of like he almost takes Spider-Man's soul.
Essentially, yeah. Yeah. And like that's how they kind of like, you know, got around, got his secret identity back and things like that. But like, you know, the cool thing that I appreciate about Marvel and, you know, Kevin Feige and his whole team in particular is that they take stories we know. They take the bits of pieces that we love about, like the iconic parts, but then they twist it into something completely new. Like the ending of Avengers Endgame is completely different from the Infinity War's actual comics. Civil War, you know, completely different scale.
They did that by necessity because we didn't have the rights. I say we, MCU, didn't have the rights to the X-Men characters, to Wolverine, because everyone knows in the comic, Infinity, Wolverine's a key character, you know, so they couldn't bring in the mutants, you know, so now that they have actually finally the whole cast of characters, you should get excited because now they can do whatever the fuck they want, you know what I mean?
I should, but I feel like the mutants are going to be left out of this equation. Like, I feel as though, okay, WandaVision's going to happen. And then we finally realize that basically that PTSD that's happening in Wanda's mind where she can create pocket realities is going to happen. And then it's going to follow up with basically Multiverse of the Madness. She has to find somebody that's going to garner her a little bit of tutelage so she can harness her powers. So that person is none other than Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange then shows her the ability of the multiverse. And who even knows that even Scarlet Witch is even the protagonist in this movie? She might even be the villain. You know what I'm saying? Nobody even seems to like point out that connotation because we saw how powerful she can become. And then after that, you know what I'm saying? If those portals open, say at the end of Multiverse of Madness, somebody defeats Doctor Strange to the point where he falls down a channel in the multiverse, pops up in New York. But it isn't a New York that he remembers because he's from New York as well. And the Peter Parker that he meets isn't Tom Holland. And then starts Spider-Man 3.
So question, if you could only bring back one of the two Spider-Men, which would you do? Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield?
Toby.
It went out of question. You know what? And we would have to see cool Toby, the one with the hair slicked to the side, walking down the street. Yeah, we would need that cameo. Yeah.
That was the wrong answer. The correct answer was the Spider-Man from the TV show in Japan.
I'll take a shot. But this also brings forth the adaptation that we will see a live action Miles Morales as well.
I think they can take their time with Miles. Just because they're doing the multiverse now doesn't mean they have to enter. No.
Even though we saw him animated.
I think we're going to get a Sinister Six before we get a Miles Morales.
So now that's a good point. Like the only thing that I was worried about because of what Marvel's doing now and COVID and everything with the time delay, I hope MCU continues to do what they've been doing, which is slowly build up. I don't care if it's another 10 years. We could all be in our 50s. Like if they do it slow as opposed
Speak
to doing
for yourself.
Check, please. If they like do a Justice League thing where they're just trying to like throw the mutants in and throw all the storylines in to get it out of the way, that would be a disaster. It will be taking something like, it'd be like Game of Thrones, where you build something up for years just to have a shitty conclusion. They need to take their time with this. So like you said, James, I don't care if it takes them 5 years to gradually bring in the X-Men. So be it. Five is a little long.
At the rate that we're going because of COVID, it's going to end up being that anyway. I mean, WandaVision better have the illest cliffhanger ever possible, because we're probably not going to get another cinematic feature as of now until summer of 2021.
And well, did you see the release calendar for next year? It's Black Widow, The Eternals, Falcon Winter Soldier, and there's another Marvel movie coming out next year, I think, too. I think it's like Shang-Chi. Like, we're getting three movies next year.
Shang-Chi is going to be 2022. That's the beginning of 22. As a matter of fact, the whole time thing got screwed up, you know.
Yeah. We were supposed to have seen Black Widow and Eternals this year.
Yeah.
And Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision. Yeah. They were all supposed to be this year, but now the only thing we're getting this year is WandaVision, which is going to be first, which is weird because they were supposed to put out Falcon and Winter Soldier
first.
Yeah. So I wonder storyline, because, you know, Marvel's super OCD when it comes to their timelines and stuff. I wonder if they had to totally go back and reshoot scenes to adjust to the whole rescheduling. They might, like, we don't know. We don't know what they had to do to kind of fix the new time schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, to be honest, like, I'm not even sure where that's going to go. Because, like I said, if the cliffhanger for WandaVision is that good in order to lead into Multiverse of Madness, Multiverse of Madness might be 2 years away. That might be That's also 2022.
So Shang-Chi is coming out next year.
That's pushed up. So
yeah, there's a whole lot of Marvel next year.
Yeah. So just to integrate those two storylines. And then, no, Spider-Man 3 is not on deck. How further along is that?
Right. This is just it's in the talks. Everything's in the talks right now.
And here's the thing. They haven't, and this is most likely going to happen, but right this second, Spider-Man 3 has not been delayed. It's still in December of 2021. So if everything goes, like, extra smooth for no good reason, we could be getting, like, 5 Marvel movies next year. We could be getting one almost every other month. We could be getting Doctor Strange and then immediately Spider-Man the next month. Well, no, I got that backwards.
If I'm looking at the rate of major movie theater closures, something drastic has to happen, because AMC and Regal are non-existent at this point.
Yeah. But the only reason they're not open is because, you know, they're pulling out the movies. If the reason they're closing all the Regal films is because they pushed, I forget what movie it was. I think it was like Tenet. James Bond.
It's next year.
Yeah. So like, if there are movies that studios are willing to put out and risk people not going to see them, the theaters will open up. But if there are no movies that are coming out, old movies from the last, like, you know, 10 years, classic films, are not enough to keep them afloat.
But the problem is, like, these movie theaters still have to pay the landlords. That's why Regal is done. Regal is done. You know, there's no more Regal theaters right now. They shut down. AMC, they're struggling, but they said they're determined to stay open. Now, I am hearing rumors that they're talking about these movie production companies actually buying these theaters. Let's say AMC folded. Do you imagine if Disney bought AMC? So IMAX and Disney's now owned by, or AMC's owned by IMAX and Disney? That changes everything.
That changes everything, but that would be horrible because no other movie studio could release a thing. You would have to go to this is a dumbass analogy, but Fast and the Furious, which is a Universal product, you would have to go to a Universal Studios movie theater.
Right.
I don't think they would do that. The way it currently works, if you release a movie in theaters, you know, Disney or whatever movie's putting into the theaters takes a cut of the ticket sales. What Disney has been doing recently, especially with the more higher profile movies, is that they're asking for a bigger and bigger chunk of, you know, the ticket sales. Likewise, they're asking for them to be shown on more screens. Like, hey, if you want to have our movie in your theaters, the biggest blockbuster of the year, instead of giving us the typical 40% of the ticket sales, you're going to give us 60. Random numbers I made up, by the way. But just to give you an idea. And you have to play it on 3 screens. You have to play it on 5 in every single theater. if Disney owns it, then obviously they're going to get 100% of the profits, and they're going to try to upcharge the other studios. It's like, well, we do own 60% of the movie theater, so do you want your movie released or not? Like, you know, like that. Monopolies are bad. Monopolies are bad in a nutshell.
It is. And I hope that never happens. Yeah, and the thing is, you almost have to put all your faith in mom and pop movie theaters. Like, I know there's still like a couple left around. I even have one like close to where I live and everything like that. Or, as me and Jorge talked about at the beginning of
you mean Jorge stuff in his face right now?
Yeah, that guy.
And by the way, while we were talking, he was in the refrigerator because I heard him. You know, I heard the ice machine and all that. So, Jorge, what did you eat during your excursion? I could tell. You still got lettuce on your shirt and you're mustard.
Yeah, anyway. No, but just like to divulge a point, me and Jorge talked about it at the beginning of the pandemic. We were talking about the fact that, will movie studios start to buy into streaming? And if they buy into streaming, if they buy into Netflix, Hulu, any of these carriers, and movie production studios actually like then start siphoning in their movies onto streaming, do movie theaters just become non-existent at this point? I mean, they'll exist, but so here's maybe the thing. Not.
There's always going to be a market for movie theaters once this pandemic clears up. Like, unless I'm renting out the entire theater, I'm not trying to go to the movies. But flash forward 2 years from now, when the new, like, you know, X-Men movie comes out, I'm going to be there, assuming it's safe to do
so. Wait, AJ, so if next year they release Black Widow in the theater, you're not going to go see it?
No. But this is actually, though, this is what I would do. At some movie theaters near me, I think it's like the AMCs, you can rent out an entire theater for $150. I would rent it out, get a couple of my friends, split the cost, and be safe. And maybe I take this a little bit more seriously than most people. And when this podcast is over, I actually want to do that with Tenet, if you guys are like cool with that. Like, we'll talk about that later. But that's the only way I can see myself feeling comfortable going to a theater, especially when I live with people who have pre-existing health conditions, you know? Yeah, and true. I'm not trying to make this political or anything like that, but like, you know, it is what it is. So like I would do something like that for the Marvel theaters. I would end up spending way more money, but the money I'm spending renting out a fucking theater would be safe because I'm not going to concerts and music festivals.
Well, let me say this. I actually put this in a post, and I'm going to pose this question to you guys. Because let's assume, AJ, let's say 2 years from now, theaters are open, the vaccine works, everyone's like, oh, happy day, and everyone's healed, and movies are back to normal. Now, do you think because of the pandemic and people being forced for 2 years to stay at home and watch stuff, Marvel releasing content, the numbers are going to be through the roof? Or do you think it's going to like not be as big? I personally think, like, after this all said and done, people are going to be itching to see a movie.
Yeah.
And if you have something like the Spider-Verse, where if you do bring in Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, and all that, I think that it could actually break Endgame's record. That's how big I think it could be.
I don't think it would break records, but I do think they would do better than damn near everything else and better than expected. Like, I think it would make hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't think it would be the billion-dollar blockbuster it could have made if this pandemic never happened.
Bro, I bet you, AJ, I bet you right now, if the Spider-Man 3 movie has Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield and they talk about market, I bet you it will do. Honestly, I think it would actually beat Endgame.
Oh, I'll take that bet. Easy. How much money do you want to put down? 100?
Last Spider-Verse?
200? Huh? Yeah, last the Spider-Verse. First of all, everyone loves Into the Spider-Verse and everyone's going to be itching. That movie will break all types of records. I will put $113 on it.
$113.
That's an oddly specific number, but okay.
Yeah,
okay,
500.
Okay, so wait. Let's 500?
No. That's Jorge talking that crazy.
Jorge, I'll take that bet. I'll take that bet easy.
He's high on hoagies right now.
That's fine. I want to make my $500. Jorge, do you want to bet me $500 that the new Spider-Man movie, if it has Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield in it, I'm betting that it won't beat Endgame. You're betting that it will be. Do you want to take that bet?
No, but Darnell will. That's why I said raise it.
Okay, so Donnie, let's make it a cool 150.
154.
Okay, 154. This is on camera now.
I get real. Bucks. Yo, I get real with my best. I ain't doing no pussy ass one. I said 154, dog. I raise it four.
if Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield aren't in the movie, this entire bet gets voided. Just to be fair.
And Miles Morales.
Yo, that will break all Miles Morales.
It's like that's
crazy.
Unlikely in general.
You're crazy.
I'm not saying it'll break records for the most popular post-COVID movie. That I would believe, but it's not going to beat Endgame. It's not going to come close to Endgame.
It's not possible. It will. Absolutely. It absolutely will.
I'll even give you the benefit of the doubt. I'll let you adjust for inflation.
Matter of fact, AJ, I'll let you beat me a Street Fighter with your little puny skills just as a courtesy if you win the bet. Like, I'll actually take the controller and
put it in to beat me. $154. I don't want to. I don't need to beat you in something I could do anyway. Give me $154.
Oh, my God.
We'll see. So, I mean,
I'm going to remember this.
So, ultimately, so with the multiverse coming up, like, do you guys think, another thing I was thinking of, too, like, with the whole DC Plus thing, like, with the Moon Knight coming up, like, and all these things, like, is it going to get too flooded? Are we going to get a case of too much Marvel, or do you think they're going to space it out good?
I think Feige's a smart man. He'll break it up. It's not going to be any type of cluster that we're going to have or anything like that. He's going to space it out again. He'll do release dates and push them up as much as possible. Either way, he's figuring in his head, I'm going to make my money back regardless. If I'm delaying production, the only thing that doesn't make me money is if I do the production and then there's no movie. If I do the production and there's a movie, I'm going to make some money.
Yeah. And it's always the idea that, you know, like they did with Mulan, released on Disney Plus, make it $30 to rent it. If they released it that way alongside the theaters, the people who feel safe going to the theaters would do that. And even though I wouldn't spend $30 on Mulan, I would spend $30 on an MCU movie. And I hate that setting the precedent, because I think $30 is kind of high. I think just make it like 20.
Yeah, that's
fair.
That's crazy.
But like, you know, if push came to shove, and it's like between me watching it safe at home and going to a theater, I'll spend $30 on like the latest Black Widow Marvel movie day one. I'll split it with my roommates. You know what I mean? So like that's another way they can go about it, but they're really banking on things being better about 8 months from now.
If I spent $45 back in the 80s to watch wrestling pay-per-views, I could spend $30 to watch 2 hours of Black Widow.
Yeah.
Man, I miss those days. Remember before the wrestling pay-per-view, you had like 2 hours of hype. They would show you clips of videos and stuff before Hulk Hogan teamed up with Mr. T to fight Roddy Piper. Those were the days.
Well, how much did that cost? $60, right? For pay-per-view?
Oh, my God.
Pretty much. They were a lot of money, yo. Yeah. And pretty much the last 10 minutes of the pay-per-view was Hulk Hogan flexing for 10 minutes. When a car's crashing down in a helpless eye.
Boy, you don't mean Gene. Me and my Hulk and maniacs, eat your prayers and say your vitamins, brother.
I just don't want my daughters.
I don't want my daughter dating any of you black people.
We are currently experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
I'm going to edit that part out.
No, we won't.
Yo, but seriously, that's how. If that's the money that it's going to take for me to watch Black Widow, I'll pay that money.
Yeah, like
Mulan,
I won't be happy about it. I'm like, yo, damn Disney, take my $30, but I digress.
Yeah, not Mulan. That ain't happening.
Not Mulan.
Well, listen, man, I'm hyped about the Spider-Verse. I'm curious of what they're gonna do, how they're gonna bring in the Miles, because I think once they bring in Miles, I think that eventually Tom Holland's gonna just pass the torch to him and they're gonna focus on him for years to come. The question is, when are they going to do it, you know, and who are they going to choose when they do it?
Yeah, because they've never really had a passing the torch moment. So if Toby and Andrew officially pass the torch to him, and then Tom later on down the line passes it to Miles.
That makes a lot of sense. But I think Miles is still years away. We still have a whole lot of life in Tom Holland. In terms of Spider-Man,
He
has like a 10-movie contract, but he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
And before we leave, what about Gwen Stacy? Like, we in the MCU currently, obviously you have MJ, you have Zendaya, but we don't have MJ or Gwen Stacy. Are they going to bring them in, or are they just going to not exist?
I think Gwen Stacy will come way
later
before.
On down the line.
Yeah, he'll come way before. She'll come way before Miles does. That's no doubt. But regardless, I think we're about out of time.
Yeah.
Yo, guys, check me out on Gamertelpia every Wednesday.
Yo,
with the poor Ed, Marcus look, and Seth, it's great.
Damn right. So we got my man AJ doing promos for Gamertelpia. We got my man Darnell. We got Jorge
conspiracy promos.
Jorge on Mission Control, and I'm Grandmaster Fax. Party nerds, we are out.
Oh, God damn it, Darnell. Party nerds, party nerds, party nerds, party nerds, party nerds, party nerds, party nerds. Thank you.